Yeah, name is Christ. We commence our last two classes in the book of Matthew. So this morning and also the next class, we'll share with you the last two classes. Before we go into Matthew chapter 13, we have three questions here pertaining to the Matthew chapter 25. Let's answer this quickly, and we can go to chapter 13. In Matthew 25, it talks about three parables related to Judgment Day. The first question: for the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, the oil and the lamps refer to the Holy Spirit. So we can say that all the virgins are church members with the Holy Spirit. However, those who don't have a full lamp don't get into the wedding. Thus, the wedding definitely refer to heaven. Does this mean that those who are not full of the Holy Spirit will not be able to enter heaven? Let's read the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew 25, verse 1. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Yes, these 10 virgins represent those who have been washed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these 10 virgins represent those who are pure, which nowadays represents you and I. So we can see all 10 virgins have the same goal. And that goal is to reach the heavenly kingdom. That goal is to be able to meet the bridegroom. But look at verse 2. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Verse 3. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Right? No oil with them. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamps. Verse 5. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and they all slept. Verse 6. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming out to meet him. Verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So we can see right here, there's so many things that these virgins, they did exactly alike, right? First, they all 10 virgins. Second, they all took their lamps. Third, they all went to meet the bridegroom. Fourth, they all slumbered and slept. And fifth, they all arose and trimmed their lamps. And the last thing, on the end, look at verse 11, right? After the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. So from verse 1 to verse 11, all 10 were still virgins. This means all 10, they are still been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But these 5 foolish ones cannot enter into the bridegroom. Why? Because they did not take extra oil in their vessel. And it's true, you need to continually to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? Because sometimes, maybe these 5 foolish virgins thinking, the lamp, the oil that they have in the lamp, of course they brought oil in the lamp. If not, they would never be able to burn their lamp, right? But they did not take extra in their vessel. And because of this, before the bridegroom came, and they ran out of oil, so they want to go out and get some. But you know, and they say to the 5 wise one, right? Give us your lamp. But the wise one, not because they are greedy, because they just want to save themselves. If they give oil to the 5 foolish one, it would not be enough oil for them and for the other people, right? So in other words, they all cannot be saved. So this is true, right? This is true. Right now is a time for you and I to take extra oils with ourselves. Because on the end days, when trying tribulation come, it can be very difficult for us to stand firm in our faith, and no one can help us, right? Let's turn to the book of Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 11. Revelation verse 22, and chapter 22, verse 11. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. So 28 days before Jesus Christ's second coming, those of us who are goats, we cannot be no longer be sheep. Those of us who are wolves, we no longer be sheep. So that's why now is the time to cultivate ourselves, be filled with God's Spirit, so the foundation is firm. But if we build a foundation of sand right now, right before Jesus Christ comes again, there's no way we have the time to build our foundation on the rock. It's too late. So the one that built on the sand will be destroyed. The one built on the rock can become even stronger. So that's why when our Lord Jesus Christ, right, send fire from heaven, right, send fire on earth, if our foundation is just like wood and straw, it will be all burned up, right? But if our foundation is like silver and gold, what happened to silver and gold when it hit fire? What happened? What's that?
Someone say?
Yes.
Yes.
More pure, right? More pure. More pure. So that's why if your foundation is not gold or silver, when the fire comes, be gone. Right? It will be gone. So that's why the same thing with the 10 virgins. So don't think that we have so much time, right? Especially if we are young, right? When we are young, we think that we have all the time in the world. But if we go to the cemetery, not only old people die, right? A lot of babies also die. Young people also die. So you and I, our life is very fragile. We can die anytime, right? Really, you can die anytime. So we must make sure when we die, we will enter the heavenly kingdom. We will enter eternal life. So don't be like the five foolish virgins, but be like the five wise virgins. Take extra oil for their in their vessel, so the time of trial and tribulation come right before Jesus come again, right? And then they can enter into the bridegroom. Okay. Any question, any thought about that one? Anything else? In the gospel, there's about 40 parables pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. And pretty much almost every parable, it tells us have to do something with preparation. With the preparation. Just like here, right? Matthew 25. Now, the next one. Question two. For the parable of the talents, there are three servants. Since all three servants are serving the Lord, we can say that they are all church members, because all only baptized church members can serve the Lord. Okay? Those who served with all their talents were able to enter into the joy of the Lord. Does enter into the joy of the Lord definitely refer to heaven? Yes. For the servant that did not use all his talent, He was sent into the outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Does weeping and gnashing of teeth refer to hell? Yes. Does this mean that if we go to church but do not serve the Lord, we were not able to enter heaven? Of course, this assuming that the member is healthy and able, not one with severe disability or illnesses. Okay. What is considered a talent? Because a lot of members say they don't have talents, so they don't really serve. How do we know if we have used all our talents or not? Should we still serve us? Should we still serve if our spirituality is low? Okay, there's a lot of questions here, but yes. So here, when we talk about, you know, chapter 25, right, verse 14 to verse 30, we're talking about these three servants. These three servants have different talents, which nowadays represent different gifts. But the servant who has the least gift should be easier for him, right, to go out and gain another one. But because he is so lazy, right, so lazy, and is not willing to go out and do anything. So that's why on the end, right, his master is saying, look at verse 26, right? It is serious, right? Chapter 25, verse 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant." Wicked. Lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Verse 27. So you ought to have deposited my money with the banker, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Verse 28. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Right? So here, you know, talents, we all have different kind of talents. But don't waste our talents. For example, if you are gifted a translation, and then when people ask you, can you translate? You say, no, I'm not, you know, I don't like to do translating, right? And you know that you are gifted in, right? So if you do this, sooner or later, God will take your gift away. It's like this. But on the end days, God will hold you accountable. Why? Because we, right, are members of one body. So this means if we are the eyebrows, and we're not willing to do our duty, this means the eyes will be full of what? Sweat, right? And because it's your fault, because you are the eyebrows, right? Even if you are what? The nose of the nostril, the hair of your nostril, right? You must do your duty, right? Why? Because when your nostril, the hair in your nostril is full of junk, what happens? What do? Huh? You sneeze, right? To get all the junk out, right? But if the hair of the nostril doesn't want to function because it's like, look at, right? My gift is so junk, right? I'm in somebody's nose, right? And nobody sees me, right? And quite often people don't like me, they just cut me off, right? So I don't want to function anymore, right? So sometimes you feel like this, like, oh, I cannot do anything, right? I'm a church, I'm not gifted, I cannot do this, I cannot do that. But everybody have gifts. Praying, right, is a gift. You know, some sister truly, right, can pray for other people. And this is servitude toward God. And some people can really comfort others, right? When they come to Sabbath, they see someone sitting there by themselves and they look sad, this person will just go up to them and just say hello to them, right? And say hi to them. This is serving God. And sometimes we go to the bathroom and this toilet paper is all over the place, right? Pick it up and throw it away. This is serving God. But if we never do anything like this, right? And then we just like that wicked servant, we are very lazy and not willing to do anything. So overall, we have to serve in every different capacity. In church, there's so many things for us to do. We do not need to be a full-time minister to serve God. There's many things in church. Many things in church. So we must realize this. We must realize this. Because I think there's a testimony, I think some of you heard it before, right? I think a young sister had a vision of going to heaven. And when she's in heaven, there's a big gate, and in front of the gate, there's many people waiting to get into this gate. And then an angel flew, and he said to everyone, right, those of you who are baptized, raise your hands. Right? Of course, you cannot lie when you're in heaven, right? When you're not baptized, then you cannot raise your hand. Only you who are baptized, you can raise your hands, right? So people raise their hands, the one who got baptized. Then the angel took the one who didn't get baptized and threw him to the fire, right? Like that. Then the second question. Those of you who receive the Holy Spirit, raise your hand. And the same thing, the people raise their hand, got the Holy Spirit. Then they just, you know, take the rest and throw it away. And the third question. Those of you have done good deeds for our Lord Jesus Christ. And people know, right? When you're in heaven, you just don't think, well, did I do good deeds or not, right? You just know. So they raise their hand. So the rest of the people do not do it, then they take them and throw them to Hades also. But good deeds, it varies from person to person, right? Really, sometimes you see an old sister walking, right, from her car. If she's carrying something, go and help her, right, to carry something. Don't just walk past by her and cut her off and just go ahead, right? Help her out, right? And sometimes we can see a person, right? We know sitting in the chapel, they look very sad, give them a call. Give them a call. You know, for me, there's an old couple, right, in Hawaii. And I treat them just like my parents. So once in a while, I just give them a call. And when I call them, I just say, you know, hi, how are you doing, right? How was your day? And they are so joyful. Just that alone, I didn't say anything, just that. They are so joyful, right? Because they know that I'm thinking about them, right? So the other day, they called me 2-3 times, right? And I'm like, oh, why do they call me, right, 2-3 times? And then I returned their phone call, like, yeah, Rudy, we had a picnic today, we really miss you, right? We hope you had a picnic with us, right? I'm like, that is, you know, that is so nice, right? Because for them, I'm just like their son also, right? We become so close like this, right? But that kind of servitude, that kind of deed, it does not take too much at all, really. It does not take too much. So, but if we just into ourselves, every time we come to Sabbath, all we focus is I, right? I, that's it, right? Then that's what God is talking about. Don't be like that, okay? Any other question or thought pertaining to this one? Yes, brother.
So what if the guy with 5 talents only made back 1 talent instead of 5? Do you think the master would be happy, or like what do you think the master would feel about that?
Yeah. It's a tough question, right? So what happened if you have 5 talents, you gain only 1 back, right? I think if you really try your best to gain the 5 talents, you cannot, and then you know the master will understand, right? Because the master know our hearts, right? Know our hearts. And I'm sure this servant 1 talent, if he tried, the first thing he did is bury the talent, right? Bury it. He doesn't want to do anything with it, right? So for me, God knows our heart. Whatever kind of gift that we have and whatever God allows us, you know, to do, we must do it with our totality, right? Do it with our might. Then God's judgment is 100% correct. So no matter what, if we give our best, do whatever we can, right? And even go beyond, right? Go beyond what we're supposed to do. Right? And then God will understand. Right? God will understand. So in other words, try our best, right, when we're serving God, right? When you clean the toilets, really make it shine. Really make it shine. Because some people mopping the toilet, mopping the bathroom, just like that, right? And then they can't wait to get out of there, right? Because sometimes you go into the bathroom, there's so much dirt in there, but it's already been mopped, right? So this means someone is mopping, they're not doing a good job, right? They're not doing a good job. Yeah. So, I mean, and God knows. Maybe no one else knows who mopped the floor. I don't know who mopped the floor or not, right? But God knows. They say, oh, you're pretty lazy, right? You're pretty lazy, right? God knows everything, right? So give our best to everything that we do. So let's go to the third question. For the parable of the sheep and goats, Jesus Christ makes a point that if we show love to him by loving others, in the parable, those who did not feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the needy, and visit those in prison were sent into everlasting punishment. I always thought that if we were baptized, receive Holy Spirit, and stay holy, we are guaranteed to go to heaven. However, is it true that if we do not show love to members as well as the community, we will be sent into everlasting punishment? How do we know when we have shown enough love? So here, from chapter 25, verse 31 to verse 46, it's talking about to show love, right, toward the least of the brethren, right, least of the brethren. So a good example of this is just like the rich man and Lazarus, right? Did the rich man do anything wrong? Think about it, right? Think about the rich man. Did he do anything wrong? First, this man was rich, and he allowed Lazarus to stay at his gate, right? If you and I are rich and we have a house gated and a homeless person is always there, full of sores, right, disgusting looking, the first thing you do, you would kick him out, right? But the rich man did not do that, right? I remember one time, one of the truth seekers at our church, actually, she has those, you know, the RV, right, the recreational vehicle, and parked in front of our church. And during that time, you know, she came to our church, and she didn't come to our church anymore, this and that. So one of our members called the cop on her. Yeah, called the cop on her because she's you know, blocking, I mean, she's taking the parking space that we should park, right? When we heard this, we feel very sad, right? Can you imagine you're the rich man, right? You see Lazarus, right? And the dogs go there and lick his sewer and stuff like that, right? And the, actually, the man had love, but his love is not up to God's standard. So instead of just looking at Lazarus out there, full of sore, allow him to stay at the gate, give him something to eat, right? Maybe invite him, right, for a cup of tea or something like that, right? But actually, that's why the rich man, right, after he died, he was buried, then what? He went to Hades, right? Went to Hades. So that's why here is also the same thing. When the Bible says what? For I was hungry and you gave me food, right? This hunger for me is not the physical hunger. It's a spiritual hunger. So when Jesus said, when I was hungry, you gave me food, right? Because God said, right, there will be a great famine on the end days. It's not famine of food and water, but hearing the word of God. So we can see a lot of people out there, they are starving, right? They are so hungry. And they also, what? They are thirsty. Thirsty for what? Not for water. I mean, in the United States, is there any place that lack of water? I mean, Dallas is so dry, but you're allowed to water your plant 2 hours per day. 2 hours of water per day. You know how much water that is? Plenty of water. It's nobody's in lack of water, but they lack of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, right? The same thing, right? Continue. And then if I was a stranger and took me in, strangers, anyone who's not baptized according to the Bible, they are strangers and foreigners. So that's why we must invite them, right, to what? Invite them to be part of the family. This is the family of Christ. After they are baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, they are family of Christ. So we have to look at more from the spiritual aspect of things, right? And then verse 36, I was naked. Naked is to show shamefulness. Nowadays, people, even though they're all clothed, you know, clothed out there, but they're all naked in the eyes of God. Why? Because they're all full of shame. But you and I are not naked. Why? After we are baptized, we put on our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the best clothes we can give to a person who's naked. Because if they're naked, they live in sin, right? They live in shame. So we must clothe them with our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, when they are sick, right? Sick, spiritually sick, we must go, right, and visit them. When they're in prison, imprisonment, if they live under the bondage of sin, under the bondage of Satan, so they're in prison. So we must go and release them. How do we release them? To open their eyes, right? From darkness to light, from the hand of Satan to the hand of God, by preach the gospel to them, allow them to be baptized for them to be released. Yes, here we must do our best to show love toward our brothers and sisters. But how do we know we show enough love? Only between you and God. But if you feel that you show lack love, I mean, if you lack of love, give more love. Right? Give more love to the point that you feel that you have no more love to give. Right? Then you will know this is enough love. Right? This is enough love. You give love to the point that you're willing to sacrifice yourself for that person. Even I myself as a pastor, I think the only one person I can sacrifice myself for right now is my wife. Not even my niece, I don't think I can sacrifice her. Sorry, right? But I don't love them enough to that point yet, right? I just feel like that way, right? But who knows, even if a situation arises with my wife and I, maybe I'm the first one to run, right? And push her to the lion, right? I just run, right? Who knows? But for right now, at this point, as I'm standing with you, the only person that I can truly die for is my wife. And that means that I need to pray that God give me more love, right? I hope that someday I can die for all of you. And then I will know that I will be perfect in love, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So any question at all in chapter 25? Chapter 25. Anything else? Yes, brother. Actually, you can buy in a sense that, you know, buy it, right? When you buy, this means you sacrifice something, right? You take something to get it. In the book of Revelation, the same thing, right? For Laodicea, right? You say that you are rich, but you are poor. But I urge you to buy, right? Let's go to that. Revelation Revelation chapter 3. Right. Chapter 3. Verse 17. That's verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me, right? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. So here, to buy something is not all. We have to buy something, physically buy something. To buy this means you must trade something, right? To gain that something. So for them to go out and buy this means they must work. Right? They must work to get this oil, just like for you and I. We must pray. Because they already have the Holy Spirit, not because they have to buy the Holy Spirit, right? But they need to give something, right? To get the oil. To work hard to get the oil. To exchange for the oil. Just like now. If you and I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we cannot sit home and watch TV, right? If we do that, there's no way. But instead, right, we have to sacrifice something, right? Sacrifice something. And also the same thing in the parable in 13, right? Talking about to buy also, right? To buy and this example actually is to trade ourselves, to sacrifice something we have to gain that thing. Okay? What do you think the oil represents? Is there anything that you think the oil represents? Yeah. I mean, oil. I mean, throughout the whole Bible, oil always represents the Holy Spirit, right? And even you burn the oil, and this burning also represents the Holy Spirit, right? There's no other thing, I think, for the oil to represent, right? Well, yeah. Okay, any other question? Yes.
In the parable of talents, what did it mean when the master said that you could have put his talent in the bank and like he would have made interest from it?
Okay, so what do you think that is? What do you think? You should ought to put my money into what? To the bank so I can gain interest, right? Yeah, I'm not sure yet. For me, it's like, you should just, even do something as little as, no effort at all to go to the bank, right? And just try to do something to gain it back. But he didn't try at all, right? So the easiest way to gain, if you have money, the easiest way to gain money is go put it in the bank. And you do not need to do anything, but you get interest. But interest can be very low, right? So for me, the message is, you even go to the bank, you're too lazy to go and do it, right? From the little things like that, right? So, yeah. Okay, anything else? Okay, let's go to 13. Matthew 13, the finale, right? Okay, all of you have homework, right? For Matthew chapter 13, right? Matthew 13, verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 and verse 2. On the same day, Jesus went out on the house and sat by the sea. Verse 2. A great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Verse 3. Then spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. So we know that in the book of Matthew chapter 13, there's how many parables? 8 parables. And the first parables have to do with sowing the seed. And this all 8 parables pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. What does the kingdom of heaven represent? What does the kingdom of heaven represent? What's that? Yes, the church and our hearts. These are the two things that represent, right? So like I share with you, the kingdom of heaven, and never say that is eternal life, is heaven. If you read the whole Bible, it doesn't say that. But of course, we can use it loosely. That is the kingdom of heaven. It's fine. Right? It's fine. It always say when you and I die, we enter eternal life. Eternal life. Even you and I die, we go away in paradise or the third heaven, never the kingdom of heaven. Because the kingdom of heaven is the church of God. And what is the definition of church? What's that?
The body of Christ.
Okay, the body of Christ, okay. And what other? What is the definition of church? That's true, the body of Christ, but that's not the definition, right? It is the body of Christ. But what is the church? Yes. Can we, where can you find that, sister?
Acts.
Yeah, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 20:28. This is the definition of church. The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So the church of God are those who have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. So any churches is not baptized according to the Bible. Anyone who's not baptized according to the Bible, they cannot be called a church. As simple as that. Yes, many people can say, our church is a church of God. Yes, they can say that, right? I can tell you that I'm a millionaire, right? You believe me? I hope not, right? Because I'm not, right? But I can tell you, just like many people, many churches say, we're the true church of God, right? We're the church that God abides. Yes, that's fine, you can say that. But prove it, right? Prove it. Prove that I'm a millionaire. Prove that you are the true church of God. So just like him, those who've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, when we are baptized, that's the time that God purchases us. So if we read in Matthew chapter 13, the kingdom of heaven is the church of God. The kingdom of heaven is our heart. So all eight parables have to be exactly the same thing. We cannot say, the parable of the sower, right? It has to do with the kingdom of heaven, the church and the heart. But the next parable, the parable of the mustard seed, it has to do with some other church and stuff like that. No. These eight parables pertain to you and I nowadays, the church of God, not anyone else. Because if any other church is also called the kingdom of heaven, then this means there's more than one church can be saved, right? There's only one kingdom of heaven. That is right now where we're sitting. So this is how we interpret the whole eight parables. So the first parable, for me, the first parable is the most crucial parable. Because this parable, the sower went out to sow. And how many grounds did he sow on? Four, right? Four grounds. But how many ground was fertile? How many? One. So here, it depends on the ground. If the ground is not fertile, then this ground will be just like a mustard seed. If this ground is not fertile, this ground is exactly like a yeast, right? And this ground is not fertile, then this ground is just like what? It's just like the wheat. But if the ground is fertile, just like the ground of what? Treasure, right? And the pearl. So let's study together. But the first parable is so important. If you and I be able to accomplish and be the good ground, then all the other parables, you and I will not be, right? The mustard seed or the yeast or the wheat. But instead, we become very positive, right? Very positive. So here, let's read verse 4. Verse 4. And as he sown, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them, right? These birds represent what? What's that? Satan, right? Satan. And then the mustard seed, right? What nest underneath the tree? What nest? Huh? The bird of the air. Is this bird of the air different than the first parable? No, it should not be. It cannot be, right? If you do structure analysis, if you, you know, study, right, this past, it cannot be. Why? Because Agut is trying to use the bird of the air as being the evil one. Just like the mustard seed is also the bird, right, nest under, right, also the evil one, right, nest there. We start that later, right? But we must be consistent, right? We cannot say the bird of the air is like an angel, right? Then all of a sudden the bird of the air, the first one, is Satan. It cannot be like that, okay? So here, the first seed fell by the wayside, right? Verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart, in his heart, right? The ground is hard, right? This is he who receives seed by the wayside. So here, so the soul went out to sow, and the first group of seed that fell is by the wayside. Is it, who is the problem? Is it the sower is the problem? No. Is it Satan is the problem? Is Satan is the problem? Is Satan the problem? No. So the soul is not the problem. Satan is not the problem. Who is the problem? Who is the problem? Yeah, it's the heart. The heart is you and I. So if the seed did not fall by the wayside and the bird of the ear is flying, right? Can they see the seed? Can they take the seed away if it's inside the ground? Can it? If the bird is flying in the ear, right, and there's no seed to see, can the bird go and dig out the seed? Of course not. And fall by the wayside, because when you listen to the kingdom, right, the word of the kingdom, you cannot understand it, right, understand it. So that's why it's so important, right, to come to this kind of seminar, right, even your local churches, right, ask the deacon, deaconess, council members, and pastors if you do not understand a certain thing. But even as pastors, we don't understand everything, but everything we understand, we will share with you. And the same thing for all of you. So when we listen to God's word, it's so important to try to understand it. So that's why for all of you, when you study the Bible, read the Bible, don't just read it just like a story, right? Read it. You study it into depth. That's how we can understand the word of God. So the second ground, verse 5. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprung up because they had no depth of earth, verse 6. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Then verse 20 and verse 21. But he who received the seed on stony place, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, verse 26. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation, persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So here, the second ground is a stony ground. And this stony ground, even though you sow the seed, but the seed, of course, it very happily by receiver, but there's no root. There's no root in it. Because of this, when the sun comes up, because it's not rooted, and then it will scorch. And this sun represent what? And represent what? Yes, tribulation and persecution. So that's why it's so important. If you're going to baptize a true seeker, make sure they are rooted in faith. If they're not rooted in faith, the minute if something happened in their lives, they will leave the church. Sometimes someone will say something bad about them, right? For example, right? Maybe they're assigned to cook some food, and all of a sudden they just overheard someone say, oh, this food is so salty, right? If you're not rooted in your faith, even hearing that your food is salty, you might not come to church anymore. It's a serious matter. And there's a testimony that a sister left the church, you know, over one cookie, right? Over one cookie. There's a lot of crazy things happening in our church, right? If we are not rooted in our church, This means any little trial and tribulation that come upon us, we will leave the church. So make sure. Okay? And then the third ground, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Verse 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorn is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becomes unfruitful. So here in the third ground, it fell among thorns. But did the seed grow? Did the seed grow? Yes, right? Maybe compared to the other gospel, the seed did grow. But it grew not to the point what? Yeah, actually it bear fruit, but not to maturity, right? It bear fruit, but not to maturity. In other words, it's not edible, right? It's not edible because this fruit is very small. Why? Because it's among thorns, right? Among thorns. And this is so true, right? In Boston, right? Because I love to plant fruit trees. Even now in Dallas, I have like 10 fruit trees in my backyard, right? I just plant all of them, right? But I planted one pear tree, this Bartlett pear tree, in my backyard in Boston. But that in the back is all forest, right? So, and then this kind of vine, this thorny vine, right? This back there. And for me, I'm just too lazy to go in and cut everything up because there's so much of them, right? So my pear tree, that's like 8 years ago. If you go today to see the pear tree, guess how big it is? Almost the same size. And the pear, the fruit never, never get to the point you can eat it. But because the thorn and the bushes just choke it, right? It cannot grow at all. Even one of the branches want to go out and stuff, but the vine is just wrapped, right? And the thorns just wrap the whole tree. So now my mother asks someone to cut all those vine stuff up. Now it begin to grow. So the same thing here. And the thorn represent what? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, right? That's why we become unfruitful. Not to the point that it's maturity. If you have a fruit tree and it has fruit but you can never eat it, it's the same thing as unfruitful. Because right? There's no point to grow fruit, you can't even eat it, right? Just like right now I have pear trees and plum trees and also peach trees, right? Something like that in my backyard. And now the peach is like this big. Can you eat it? No, it's very bitter, right? You try to take a bite, it's very bitter, right? So I'm waiting for it to grow, to be bigger. But of course, there's a lot of rabbits and stuff in Dallas, so they ate all the fruit first, right, before you get it, right? So here, these are the three grounds. So first, the ground is fall by the wayside, right? They cannot understand it. And the second part, they cannot accept it. And the third ground, what? What's the problem with the third ground? The thorn choked it, right? Choked it, what does this mean? Actually, they cannot keep the fruit to become mature, right? It's by the time the thorn choked, then of course this fruit is going to fall off and cannot be mature, right? But then, look at, time is up. Time is up. Okay. Oh, time goes by so